The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. From hot dogs to cool kitties, this is Dark Side of the Pooch.
Welcome back to the Dark Side of the Pooch. You can hear the show, of course, on TKR 5 days a week. You can also hear it wherever you get your favorite podcasts. We're available in every major industry. And you can watch it right here on our YouTube channel on Tony Curry Radio. On the left side of the screen, of course, that is Dr. Rab Stewart, the owner of the Rossbridge Animal Hospital, RossbridgeVet.com. And also, of course, 208-0301 at Rossbridge Vet on social media platforms. Dr. Rab, how you doing this morning, man? Everything good?
Everything's great, man. What's up?
The show's always brought to you by Ed's Pet World and now Sasquatch Toys and Comics. They got their grand opening coming up here on the 6th, 7th, and 8th. They're open every Wednesday through Sunday between 10 and 6. Comics and toys from the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s. It's on Citation Court down there in beautiful Homewood, 452-0307. Check out Sasquatch Toys and Comics. He's expanded, ma'am. If you walk into Ed's Pet World, you see toys up in the rafters all over the place. He went overboard, and so he decided to go ahead and start another store with toys and comics. And some of the stories he's told me about this new place is crazy. So check out Sasquatch Toys and Comics, and do it, and tell them that Dark Side of the Pooch sent you. So good stuff. Are you a big?
You're
comic?
Kind of tall. Anybody ever called you Sasquatch? You're kind of a.
You know what? I've been called a Yeti once.
Okay.
And it was from a woman who was not happy with me at the time. You stinking Yeti is what she called me, but I have not been. Of course, I just got a haircut too, so I'm kind of losing some of the hair, but so yeah.
No. You are not losing hair. I, my friend, on the other hand, am losing hair. You're getting your hair cut. I'm saying goodbye to mine.
Speaking of being rude, I just found this article through the Huffington Post. The rudest things we can do with other people's pets. Oh, you're going to love this. You're going to love this. This
sounds good.
I'm going to go through every single point on here. There's about 20 of them. Some of them are just plain stupid. And you can comment on each one. And then, I cleaned out our email thing and I did it last week where I had these one hitters, these real quick questions. I got an email, from Janice. She's like, why don't you ever talk about cats on your show? And I said, we do talk about cats on our show. She goes, well, I didn't hear one cat question all last week. I'm like, okay, so we're going all cats. As we clean out our mutt mess, you even call it mutt mail. You know, yeah. I think just cats, you just know there's a lot of mystery to cats. We don't have any straight answers on cat anatomy and cats, whatever. So we'll do all kind of cat stuff coming up here in just a few minutes. You good with that?
Yeah, I'm good. So the interesting thing about, and I'm sure we'll get into it, but just very quickly.
Yeah.
Veterinary medicine visits are such the percentage of dogs is so much greater than cats.
Well, sure.
I mean, it's probably 80% dogs, 20% cats, because there's a misconception that cats don't need to come to the vet because they never leave the house.
Yeah.
And, you know, really that could not be farther from the truth. So the reason we talk so much about dogs is because dogs come in more often.
There you go. But they do have less health issues, correct?
I think that they do have less health issues because the three main things, and I'm just kind of shooting from the hip here. Clinical experience. Ear and skin issues, vomiting and diarrhea, and urinary issues probably make up the majority of what we see. Cats don't have a ton of ear and skin issues. I mean, it does happen from time to time. They have some GI issues, but not near the same level as dogs. Now, they do have a lot of urinary issues.
Yeah.
So, but you take those three big visits, cats just don't have a lot of two of those. They have a lot of one of them, which is urinary problems. So, I mean, it stands to reason that you don't see them as often, but I would almost say that since cats are so stoic, meaning they don't show a lot of pain, they really don't complain a whole lot. That's why wellness visits in cats are so important, because we can pick up on things like heart murmurs.
Yeah.
We can pick up on things like retinal problems, teeth problems. Routine blood work can pick up thyroid issues and kidney issues. So dogs tell you when something's wrong a lot of times because they don't use a litter box. Mm-hmm. So they're going to pee and poop all in your house. If they're having diarrhea, you're going to know about it. A lot of times with cats, you may not know because they're all using the litter box, and you go and you change the litter box, you don't really think a whole lot about it. So dogs, quote unquote, speak to us more than
cats. Well, I'm going to take a stab at this too, because I'm not going to get in the cat dog debate. Okay. Because if you're a cat person, just hear me out. We are more engaged with our dogs because our dogs are more engaged with us. Cats are more, you talk about stoic, they're more standoffish. They don't need us as much as dogs do. They don't come to the door when we get home from work. Rarely they do. I mean, perhaps they will just to eat. But for the most part, we're more engaged with our dogs. We're around them more often. And so we take care of them better. That's just the way it is. Correct?
That's true.
Yeah. I mean, nothing against cats. True. Yeah, it is. Yeah. All right. These are the rudest things you can do to someone else's pet. Touching someone's pet without permission. That goes without saying. Got anything you want to mention there?
I hope my five-year-old is listening to the show right now.
It is amazing how often kids will just walk up to the strangest dog, I mean, in the park. And I always go, ask the owner first if it's okay to pet the dog, because you never know how a dog is going to react around its owner.
And we have finally ingrained that in her. And she's good about asking. But, I mean, if this girl, if she sees a dog a quarter mile away.
Puppy.
She's going to it.
Not consulting with her human before feeding them. That's a big one. I mean, I'll be the first one to mention. I mean, it's the minute you walk in someone's strange house, you want the dog to like you. We all want to be loved. And so you'll end up giving it something off the, you got anything to mention there?
Remember we had a mutt mail. It might've been last week or 2 weeks ago where the guy was like, how do I get my friends to stop feeding my dog? So that guy, for him, this one's number one.
Making critical or disparaging remarks about their pet. Don't make disparaging remarks around someone's pet. For example, saying to a pet parent, I don't like dogs because they stink, is rude.
I thought you were going to say, wait, don't say anything about my fat dog. Don't say anything about my fat cat.
You know what? I've done that. I mean, if I've seen a really fat, but like, boy, someone likes to feed off the table. But I mean, now that animals are kind of like part of the family, it's like talking about someone's sister. I mean, yeah, you can't do it. I mean, you sit there and say someone's dog's fat. I mean, they can take that personal, right?
They really do. And I kind of shy away from, I mean, if an owner asks me straight up, hey, how's my pet's weight? You know, what do we need to make any adjustments? But
then it's usually fat.
Yeah. I mean, but occasionally somebody will bring in a pet that's underweight.
Yeah.
But, you know, people get real offended. And I think it's like, okay, people know that drugs and alcohol are bad.
Yeah.
If used inappropriately. Let me add that. If used inappropriately, if abused.
Yeah.
So you don't have to tell your doctor, hey, you know, I do these things. Is that bad? People know if your pet is fat. They just know.
Yeah.
So I used to, when I was a younger veterinarian, I would address that as part of the physical exam. People got so mad at me. You know, say, hey, look, you know, your dog, it's not really based on weight. It's based on the body condition score. So anything over like a six out of 10 or a 6 out of 9, it's two different scores. The pet's overweight.
Yeah.
So I'd mention that to owners. They would get so upset. And then I finally realized
why
they know. I don't, because they don't, they that, just don't want to.
Well, they probably don't care.
They don't want to know.
I mean, I got friends of mine that got fat dogs and they feed their, they don't care. I mean,
they don't care
because the dog seems to be happy because the dog's happy to eat some table scraps, and they will feed that dog to the point where the belly's rubbing the ground and they like having a fat dog. Now, normally they're overweight too.
There's so many health problems that can come with it, but owners would get upset with me. So I just got to the point where I was like, you know what? They know if their pet's overweight. I don't have to tell them.
Yeah.
It's just like people know abusing drugs and alcohol is bad. You don't have to tell your doctor that.
Giving the pet medication without permission. I don't know anyone that's ever given a dog. Have you ever seen that happen? I mean, outside something that is not legal, talk about drugs and alcohol. I've seen a guy get his cat stoned but he asked the owner first, hey, do you mind if I get your cat stoned? He's like, no problem. This was 20 years ago. It was pretty funny. I was there.
When I was in college, somebody put beer in my dog's water bowl. And so not cool. I woke up. No, it's not cool. I woke up one morning and I went downstairs and I was like, all right, look, my dog, I had a Weimaraner. Her name was Callie.
Yeah.
R.I.P. Callie. And I was going to give her food and water. And I looked down at her bowl and I was trying to figure it out because I didn't do it. And I had two roommates at the time and they were, man, just 24/7.
Yeah.
You know, they never went to class and they just, you know, and it was just like kind of a revolving door. It was almost like an animal house to them.
I would bet dogs wouldn't even drink beer, would they?
Well, I don't know if she did or not, but I was trying to figure out what it was. And so finally one of my roommates comes out and I'm like, hey, Kelly, I think there's beer in her water bowl. And they're like, oh yeah, somebody did that last night's joke. I don't think you drank any. It's fine.
Forcing your own pet on them when walking a dog, never feel it's okay to lead your pet over to another pet.
Oh, I think that's really important. Yeah. You got to keep that separation there because you don't know what the personalities are like.
Making false assumptions. Pets, like people, have their own personalities. Do not presume how someone else's pet will react when you interact with it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you just got to stay safe. Stay safe. That goes back to, hey, can I pet your dog?
Yeah. This goes along with, if you have a pet that's part of your family, you probably don't want to ask this question, but asking how much the owner paid for their pet. I have done that a million times. Mm-hmm. And that's considered rude.
I don't know that I would consider it rude. I mean, this weekend at we were at the Auburn football game, and there was a beautiful wire hair German Shorthair pointer. You just don't see many of those. You don't see them with the wire hair.
Did you get excited?
My father-in-law was totally enamored.
Really?
I mean, he was like, "Where can I get this dog? How much did this dog cost?" You know. So I guess he broke one of the cardinal rules.
And how much did it cost?
Well, they kind of hem and haw it a little bit.
Okay,
so I think they didn't really want to talk about it. And I think it's because it's like anything else. Hey, how much money you make?
Yeah.
You know, no, because if you tell somebody, oh, I paid $5,000 for this dog. Well, you know, then you can make probably some very wrong assumptions about their overall lifestyle. Like just because someone paid a lot for a dog, it doesn't mean that they're, you know, worth millions of dollars. Maybe they just really wanted that dog.
The rudest things you can say to a pet owner, brought to you by Sasquatch Toys and Comics. So this is Dark Side of the Pooch. You can hear the show 5 days a week and wherever you get your favorite podcasts, right here on our YouTube channel. Demanding unreasonable accommodations. We've had lots of emails about people who come into other people's homes. Maybe the mother and father are visiting. They're not big dog people, but you have dogs. They're part of your family. And they're just like, can you please put your dogs up? And you're like, that's like asking me to put my children up. No. I mean, that's one of those things where you probably need to have a discussion before you have anyone come stay with you or visit with you. Or if you have a dog and you want to invite someone over and you know they're not a big, because I know some people have phobias about animals, dogs or cats, and make themselves feel uncomfortable. That should be an accommodation that should be discussed beforehand, correct?
I think so. I mean, again, we as pet people, we're under the assumption that everyone is a pet person. It would never even cross our mind. Like if you're coming to the house to say, hey, Tony, are you okay with dogs? I mean, obviously you are, but I'm just using you as an example.
Yeah.
So I think it's a good idea to, you know, think outside the box a little bit and be sure that people are cool.
See,
with
for me, humans are more important than dogs. Just mm-hmm. for me. Okay. So if I've had somebody that maybe I've got a contractor, maybe I got a worker, someone's coming over to the house, I'll put the dogs up. And then if they say it's cool, they can run around, do whatever, then I'm fine. But they come second. And then if you pet a dog, and normally you're going to pet a dog the minute it walks in the door, it's not going to leave your side until you stop petting it. And sometimes it'll bother you. It'll start nosing your crotch, the whole nine yards. And then I'll say, hey, listen, is that bothering you? And if they're nice enough to say no, then I'll leave it go. But if they're like, yeah, then I'll pull it back. You've had that dog do that, humping the leg, the whole nine yards. Taking photos or videos without permission. What the hell? What are you talking about?
I don't have a problem with that.
I don't have a problem with that either. And finally, trying to play with a service dog. Let's talk about this because I think most people that love animals realize when there's a service dog, particularly when it's got the harness on. But can you talk about how that is wrong? I think a lot of people don't realize it. They're not playing with a service dog to make it angry or mess it up, but it's there to service, right? Talk about that a little bit.
There's a difference between a service dog and an emotional support dog.
Yes.
So a service dog, okay, I'll give you a great example. This has been a few weeks ago, and my daughter, who loves dogs, we just talked about her. We were at Costco, and there was a veteran there, and he had a motorized chair. He had lost several limbs, and this was... walking right beside him was a beautiful lab that had a service dog vest on. Mm-hmm. And my daughter, I mean, the whole time we're in the store, our paths would cross. Can I pet that dog? No, you cannot. So eventually the guy heard her and he's like, hey, look, you can pet my dog, but I just have to let her, meaning the dog, I have to let the dog know that it's okay to be petted.
Yeah.
So this guy, the reason that he had the dog was for in case he falls. Like if he ever falls, the dog goes absolutely ballistic, you know, and tries to alert anybody that will listen. Mm-hmm. Also for PTSD. Yeah. And also for neurological issues like seizure stuff.
Okay.
So if the dog is being petted, it's not paying attention to that owner. You know, it's distracted.
Yeah.
So I think that if the owner feels like he's at risk to have some of these things happen, it's really important you don't pet the dog.
There you go.
But he can release that dog. And emotional support, that's kind of like, you know, that's for the owner's, you know, well-being. And those, it's more okay to pet those dogs, but I would still, it's just any other dog, whether they're working or not. It's just important to say, hey, can I pet your dog?
There you go. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. We get a ton of mutt mails. And yes, we did all dog questions last week. Someone called up and said, listen, why don't you do some cats? Talk about some cats. You never talk about cats on Dark Side of the Pooch. So I went through the bottom of the barrel and found about 10 or 12 quick little hitters here. You ready?
I'm ready. Time for Dark Side of the Cat.
Dark Side of the Cat. Nina wants to know, at what age can a cat get pregnant?
Oh, well, they can get pregnant when they start having heat cycles, which can happen when they're just, you know, 6 to 8 months old.
All right. Eric wants to know, how many litters can a cat have in a year?
Well, cats are induced ovulators. So that means anytime they get it on, they ovulate. So
they don't have to be in heat.
No, they are what's called induced ovulators. So anybody out there that's interested, look it up, induced ovulators. So they can, that's why there are so many cats running around, because it's almost like every time they breed, they're going to get pregnant if they're not already pregnant.
So how many times, so how long does it take to have a baby? How many days?
Once those cats are weaned, like once the cats are off the mama, I mean, it's
so how many, they have, how many litters can they have a year? I mean, how many days does it take to,
I mean, unlimited. I mean, once those cats are,
no, but I mean, how long does it take to give birth? In other words, 60 days, 50 days, how long?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. It's similar gestations, a little bit shorter than the dog, a little bit shorter.
So five times a year.
Once those cats are out and they're weaned, it's game on.
That's crazy. Tina, what's the biggest litter Dr. Rab has ever seen?
I think in cats. I've never really seen a lot of pregnant cats.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, so this is a cat question. So, I don't know in my entire career, because most of the time when you have feral cats, no one's bringing those in. And I don't have any clients who are trying to breed cats. Mm-hmm. So dogs, yeah, we see a lot of pregnant dogs. The ones that I have seen are very small. Like the last pregnant cat I saw, I had three kittens.
What's the biggest?
We just don't see a lot of them.
What's the biggest litter you've ever heard of? You know,
in the teens, probably.
Teens. Like
yeah, 13 well, we're talking kittens? About cat. No, I'm talking about dogs now. Sorry, cats. That's what I'm saying. Like I don't. Like literally the only cat that I have ever seen pregnant had like three in it.
Yeah.
And that was 6 years ago. It's just not something I see.
Baby kittens are cool. I'm going to tell you that much right now. I mean, everything that's small is cool.
Yeah.
And then it has to grow up. Carrie wants to know, do cats really hate water?
Most cats hate water, but not all cats. We'll have the occasional cat that comes in and the owner wants us to bathe it and the cat's totally fine.
They can swim though, right? They're pretty good swimmers, no?
I mean, they can swim. I mean, not as well as dogs.
What swims better, a cat or a monkey? I've seen swimming monkeys.
I guess I'm going to go monkey. It's a total guess.
I saw some story on the History Channel the other night. It was a crossover with the Animal Planet, and they had these monkeys in I think it was Antarctica, and they were sitting in a hot tub. They were sitting in
Antarctica.
Yeah, they were sitting in this pool of hot water that was coming from a volcano, and they were all sitting in this hot tub of water in this. Yeah, it was.
Are you sure you weren't watching Planet of the Apes?
I might have been. Toby, what really is a feral cat? You just said feral. What is a feral cat? What is that?
A feral cat is basically an undomesticated cat, a cat that's been living, without owners, just kind of living outside, eating whatever comes across it. Just basically a cat whose home is the outdoors and does not have a human owner and never has.
You put a cat outside in the country. I'm not going to say busy roads. Okay. Outside in the country. How long will it live on its own if it never sees a human being?
I mean, if it doesn't get some type of injury or disease,
yes.
I mean, it can live for just as long as any other cat. I mean, 15, 16 years.
See, and dogs can't do that. That's where cats have it on dogs.
Yeah. Well, I mean, dogs, they have trouble acquiring food and shelter.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
they just do. And cats are, they're a lot smaller. They can survive. They're hardier. You know, they know how to survive.
Yeah, but don't they? But and I mean this in the nicest way, but cats don't need anybody. Cats can live solitude, right? I mean, dogs need people. Don't dogs? Dogs emotionally, like dogs will get. We know dog. You said it on the show. Dogs get depressed. Do cats get depressed?
No, I think cats do get depressed. But I think the difference in dogs and cats' ability to survive in the wild,
yeah,
is mainly because cats are. They're smaller. They can fit into places that dogs can't fit into. Oh. They're much less likely to get hit by cars because they're not as big. Mm-hmm. They just know how to survive. They know how to obtain food and water and shelter. They're better at that than dogs are.
They just catch a rat for lunch, man. They're good to go.
Yeah.
Trey wants to know, how many human years are cat years? We know it's seven. We've gone through the calendar where it's actually not seven. It ends up averaging seven. But we know like a 3-year-old dog's really like 22 or something like that. What is it for cats?
I don't know the answer to that exactly. It's probably pretty similar, but I can't tell you exactly.
Typically,
that's a good
question. Do cats and dogs live about the same length of time? It seems like anything around 13, 14 is getting up there pretty good.
Cats can live longer. Like the average, you know, because it's so specific to dog size, but since cats are usually pretty much the same size.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really not uncommon for a cat to live 18 years. Now it's tough for a dog to live 18 years, you know, yeah. even small breed dogs. So cats are going to live longer on average. I want to see if I can find this while you ask the next question.
That's fine. Frank wants to know, on average, how long does a cat sleep daily? That's a good question.
Oh man, they sleep for probably close to 18 or 19 hours a day. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Life. It's a good life.
Man. Yeah. I mean, it's ridiculous.
And they don't get depressed as much as dogs. Go figure.
I don't think they do.
Becky wants to know, is it true that humans are allergic to cat saliva? We talked about this, yeah. And I learned this on Dark Side of the Pooch. I did not realize that a lot of people think you're allergic to cats. You're not allergic to cats. You're allergic to the saliva on cats. Can you please explain that?
Yes. So that she's right on that. When you're allergic to cats, you're allergic to the saliva on their fur. So mm-hmm. It's not that you're allergic to the fur. All cats are going to groom themselves. And so that's, you're going to get that on the skin and on the fur, but they're making foods now that are supposed to alter that so that you're not supposed to be allergic to
what?
The saliva anymore. Yeah.
How's mm-hmm. that possible?
I don't know. It's some altered protein that, you know, people smarter than me have come up with.
I think we
all know. Right, I got an answer to your question. Yes. I got an answer to your question. Are you ready?
Yeah.
I told you it was a little different. So to convert cat age to an equivalent human age, an accepted method is to add 15 years for the first year of life. So it's really similar to how it's similar to that bell curve, you know, in the dog
mm-hmm.
goes up fast. So first year they're 15. And then for the second year, add 10.
Wow, they're 25 after 2 years?
25. Yep.
Wow.
And after that, add 4 years for every cat year. So it's not seven, it's four.
Okay, well, that's a great, but I didn't realize, because how old would you say a dog is after 2 years? 15, 16, 17?
After 2 years, they're not gonna be that old. And actually, so they're probably, so the way that the dog one works, it starts out flatter. For the first couple of years, it's probably very, you know, it's not one per one, but it might be like one per two, one per three. And then you get to 3 years old and then it really shoots up for a few years.
Dog mature around five, wouldn't you say? I mean, five is about a 35-year-old. And you froze up.
Yeah, you did too, but now you're back.
Okay, you're good. Go ahead, continue. What would you say a mature dog is? I say mature, I'm talking like a guy. I'm 57. I'm not mature, but what would you say, like mid 30s is like 5 years old?
Well, a cat is or a dog is considered. What's your question, dog or cat?
No, I was asking when would you say a dog is mature?
Oh, dog's mature when they're, well, so they're skeletally mature when they're between 1 and 2 years old.
Okay.
So, you know, I'm not really sure emotionally it depends on the dog, but as far as like, you know, their skeleton being totally mature. So let's say, you know, I think most humans, their skeleton, I would assume, is mature by the time they're about 20 years old, maybe. Like most people are done growing at that age. Yeah. So a dog is going to be around 2 years old.
All right.
Depending on the size of the dog.
Steve wants to know, are there more dogs or cats in the world?
Oh man, I don't know the answer to that. I'm going to guess cats.
Yeah.
Because there are so many that reproduce so quickly.
Carrie wants to know, what really is catnip? That's a good question. I've asked a lot of people what catnip is. What is catnip? What is it?
It is a really long scientific word that I can never fully remember. So I'll do the same thing that we did with the cat age.
I'll wait on you. Go ahead.
Catnip. What is it?
Catnip is.
Yeah. Well, so it's a plant, Nepeta cataria. It's a plant, but that's the scientific name, Nepeta cataria. It's native to Southern and Eastern Europe, the Middle East, Central Asia, parts of China. So all it is a plant.
And why do cats like it so much?
I don't know. It's the same reason people like plants that they like. You know, I don't know.
I mean, I've never bought catnip for my cat when I had one, but I'm assuming they like it.
Yeah, they like it. Okay, here we go. It contains the feline attractant naproxen.
Okay. What is that? Like drugs?
Yeah, it's a feline attractant.
Crack for cats?
Yeah, it makes them playful and frisky and
Like we need that. All right. Danny wants to know, do cats dream? And if they do, ask Dr. Reb what he thinks they dream about.
I mean, I would think that they dream. I would think that they dream because, you know, dogs dream. So why wouldn't cats dream? If I'm a cat, I'm dreaming about the earth being made of just giant balls of yarn.
Yeah.
And you know how dreams start out? Some dreams start out great. I mean, it's like just the best dream. And then it turns very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that what my dream would be is everything would be made of yarn and I would start to play with it. But then all the balls of yarn would start to roll away.
Yeah.
And so as a cat, I would be chasing them, trying to catch up with the balls of yarn, but I would never catch them. And it would turn into a nightmare.
It sounds like you've thought about this before.
Well, I just think that's how a lot of my dreams go.
Let me ask you a question. We're running out of time, but I have to ask this question. What do you dream about? Do you dream about work? Do you dream about cats? And do you have cats and dogs in your dreams?
I do not dream about work.
You've never have you ever dreamt about a cat or a dog?
I'll tell you that I have a reoccurring dream where I woke. This happens a lot. A reoccurring dream where I remember that I have a class that I never studied for. It's like, oh my gosh, that I signed up for a history class like 2 months ago and I haven't even gone. Like, mm-hmm. What have I been doing? I've got to somehow get out of this class. Surely they'll help me. I have that dream all the time.
Have you ever had a dream where you forgot you enrolled for college and you're like 2-3 months late? I have that dream all the time where I'm coming in like 2 months late and I'm thinking, well, I paid for it, so they're not going to be. And I'm walking in class and people are like, who are you? Because I didn't realize that college started 2 months earlier. I have that dream a lot. Maybe it's because
basically the exact same dream as mine. The exact same thing, except it's one class and not, you know, four or five. Or
I also have a dream that I'm walking down a hallway and there's a giant hole in the middle of the hallway. I don't know what that means. All right, tell people how they can find you, my friend.
Oh, you can find us. You can email us, rossbridgeanimalhospital@gmail.com. You can call us at 208-0301. You can find us on Facebook, Rossbridge Vet. And You can walk in our door if you want at 2001 Greenside Way.
Dark Side of the Pooch brought to you by Sasquatch Toys and Comics. Seth actually came to see you. I went down there and saw him last week, and he's like, dude, that guy is super cool. He loves the fact that you're a big fish fan, too. Sasquatch Toys and Comics, grand opening going on October 6th, 7th, and 8th, Wednesday through Sunday, 10 to 6. Toys from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. Comics from the 60s on up. 145 Citation Court, 452-0307, 452-0307. It's a new sensation down there in Homewood Checkout. Sasquatch Toys and Comics. Thank you, my brother. I'll talk to you next week.
All right, man.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.